checking in on our podcast. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Time now for our interview with Slimmer Stronger U's coach, Will Spitzenberg. Got you mic'd up there, brother. Good to see you, man. How are you?
Oh, good to see you. I'm good. I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, man. I saw Pastor Katina. He was in studio here, and he was like, he just came from SSY. He's the 6 a.m. class, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
All right.
He's doing great with his wife.
I got to tell you, I saw Dr. Bethel. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, if she's going to yell at me, but I couldn't recognize her. I mean, she looks 15 years younger.
She does. She looks great.
She's what been an with us. Awesome success story.
Yeah. So Dr. Bethel has been with us for almost 6 months now.
Okay.
And she's lost over 60 pounds. Just following the SSY Apollinarian way that we teach, just to eat mostly wholesome foods from nature, giving yourself, 10 to 20% of wiggle room in your calories per day to like enjoy some of your buffer foods and stay away from trigger foods. That's a lot of us, it triggers, like a lot of us are very addicted to the SAD diet, processed junk food. And so you just got to find what works for you. And
SAD, is that an acronym?
Yes, the Standard American Deadly Diet.
Deadly
Diet. Okay. Yes, it's one that's literally killing our people.
What is a SAD product that we should avoid then?
Yeah, processed food, lots of the stuff, chips, sodas, cookies, candies.
Cheese?
Cheese is it could be a buffer food. It could also be a trigger food. So there is a different people. For a majority of us here, we're lactose intolerant. So I don't recommend it for the majority of people, but if it works, if it helps you stay on your diet, then you can have a little.
Cheese is good for killing hunger.
Yeah, it helps for some people. It does for some people. It triggers a binge eating event. So
that's my problem. I am a cheese fiend. I will get in there and I'll crush a whole block if I'm not careful.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So that's why I tell people, look, just find a buffer food and you just test it out. If it's a buffer food for you, enjoy it. If it's a trigger food, I would stay away from it.
So trigger food is what? You just like have a what they call a snack-cident where you eat one and then you just can't stop?
You'll be like, oh, I have a little. Like for me, my trigger food is chocolate chip cookies. I can't stop myself. I'll have, somebody will offer me a bag, and especially if it's homemade.
And you'll just smash the whole thing.
Yeah, I'll just have one. Yeah, yeah, right.
Forget the only one cookie.
Yeah, forget that.
And that's what they say. It's only one cookie.
It's only one cookie. I can't control myself around it. So I stay away from it.
Okay.
It's really just, I can't control myself.
Right.
So that's a trigger.
Point of no return, huh?
Right. And for some people, it could be a buffer food. It's like, oh, just having that one chocolate chip cookie is going to sustain me and make me eat more healthy food the rest of the day. But for the majority of us.
I want to meet those people.
I know. It's like, it's really hard to find those people. So for some people, they can say, I'll have a little cheese and I'm okay. I mean, I'll have maybe two cookies from, they open a bag of cookies and only eat two. And I'm like, man, I wish it was like that. It's like, you can't do it. You open the bag, it's gone. You eat the whole thing. It's just, there's no control.
It's like Doritos.
Yeah, Doritos. Oh man, yeah. Chips. So all those things, processed. It's not good for our health. Fast food restaurants.
It tastes so good going in and then you get stuck. You just feel...
Yeah, you feel heavy. And
you got junk in you.
Yeah, junk in you, and it's just not good for your health. So Dr. Bethel has been in our program. But what I teach really is in our program is really eat for health first, and the weight loss will take care of itself. So that's why I recommend eating wholesome foods from nature, at least 80%, for 80-20%. At least 80% of your food calories should come from healthy food. And if you want to, as you get down to closer to like within 20 pounds of your ideal weight, then you really got to boost it up to 90%.
How do you determine ideal weight when somebody walks in there?
Yeah, so we do have this chart that we use. It's kind of like a BMI chart, but really it just helps you see based on your frame. So how you measure your frame is either your small frame, your large frame, or your medium frame. So you take your middle finger and your thumb and wrap it around your wrist, the biggest part of your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And if they touch, that means you're medium. If they overlap, you're small. If they don't touch, you're large, your large frame. A lot of people will tell me, hey, coach, I'm Polynesian. I'm big bone. I was like, okay, well, this tests your frame. And some of them, they're right. They're big frame. And so they have a chart just for large frame people. And it's like 10 to 20 pounds heavier than
that's like frame. Large frame as in they really do have a big bone.
Right, big bone.
Big
so
bone
it
structure.
Does cover it, right. Okay. So it has female and male is separate. It has your height. And then it tells you if you're a large frame.
So where am
frame.
I at?
So it looks like you're medium.
Medium?
And what's your height?
About 5'. I tell everybody 5'11 and a half, but it's actually more like 5'10.
So I'm 5'11. So when I look at the chart, I need to be at 180. So 180? You would be around 170, 175 is where you should be.
Okay.
Should be your target weight.
I'm like 198. So I still got a ways to go.
Yeah. So you're like 20, 30 pounds away.
Yeah.
Which then for you, you would be more strict on your diet because you want to get rid of that last 20, 30 pounds. For the most of people who come to us, they're over 100 pounds overweight. So I just tell them, just shoot for 80% wholesome foods and allow yourself 10 to 20% to play with. That way you can stay sane and continue to want to continue to the program. Otherwise, if you go too strict, then people will just quit on you.
Right.
And so Dr. Bethel has been doing that, and she's doing amazing, and she continues.
I saw her on Saturday at KS, and I was like, man, I got to reach out to Will. And I wrote you, and I was like, man, I saw Dr. Bethel. I couldn't believe it. She looks great.
Yeah, not only that, more importantly, and she's excited as well as I am, is that actually she's healing her body from the inside out. When she started with us, she was her A1C was 11.8, and that's the one that determines you're a diabetic, so she is diabetic. And after 5 months of following this program, the SSY Polynarian Way, she's now down to 6.5. So she basically dropped over 5 points in 5 months just eating this way, just following this program.
That's incredible.
So that's what I love about it. And I teach people, first and foremost, I want you to eat for health. Don't worry about the weight. It'll come off. So the more you eat for health, the weight loss will come. And the body fat, the body will release it because it has no reason to hold on to it. And that's the beauty of the program. We actually have lots of doctors in our program. We have like almost 10 doctors in our program. We have Dr. Ifili and his lovely wife, Francine. They're doing amazing. You know, Francine's great. She looks amazing, but she loves to come and work out because exercise, you know, helps you as the older you get.
I noticed
as well.
You only said Francine looks great.
Dr. Ifili too, yes. Yes, you're trying to get me in trouble here, John.
What's up, John?
But yeah, John is and both of them are so busy, especially with all this saturation, bringing people back.
Yeah,
and so they always try to make time to prioritize their health. We have Dr. Robin Famuina. She's lost over 100 pounds with the Polynarian Way. We have Dr. Etta McCutcheon. She's lost over about 50 pounds following the program.
So if doctors are doing it, then must be doing something right.
They must be doing something right.
Okay.
So unless we encourage everybody, just take better care of your health. We're not getting any younger. We're number one in the world for obesity, diabetes, and many other ailments. Cancer is now continually spiking, and we're just getting sicker and sicker here.
Do you think that there's a relation for all this processed food to all this cancer that seems to be here in American Samoa?
I'm a firm believer it's related to the food.
Yeah.
Definitely related to the food. Studies, more and more science coming out that dairy also connects to prostate cancer and many other types of cancer. Sugar as well. Oil also connected to a high-fat food connected to cancer as well. So it's all connected. And I think that if we can go back and eat more wholesome food like our ancestors. You look at them. They ate a lot of taro, ulu, fa'i.
Oh, you watch those KVZK Island breaks. You're like, whoa.
And you're like, holy smokes. Those people are fit.
Yeah.
They have six-pack abs. They didn't even go to a gym. And people are like, oh, but carbs make you fat. I was like, but how come our ancestors weren't fat? And they ate mostly sweet potatoes and taros and ulus and bananas. It was just, there's just a myth going on around that's just confusing us.
Yeah.
It's like if you return back to nature, eating mostly from the land and the sea, we'll be okay. And definitely what we've proven in this program, not only does it make you healthy, it also reverses obesity. And that's our challenge for everybody.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. Ancestors. Now, the Samoan ancestry, did they travel much like on the island, or did they typically, like, I'm thinking like westernized, when you lived in, you know, like, farm or whatever, you pretty much stayed in that place your whole life.
Right.
Was there a lot of travel between like Pongo and Tula or Onanoa?
Yes.
Things like that. Do you know, is there any?
So some studies that I've read and journals that I've read is that our ancestors actually like a lot of canoeing. So they'll go on canoes and they will paddle around the island.
So that was the operative. Instead of walking, they'd paddle,
For most of the people, that's especially the North Shore islands or villages like Fangasa. In those places, they have to get on boats and canoes and go around to Tula or around the other way. And that's how they access this side of the island. And sometimes they would just hike over the mountain. So they did a lot of walking, and also they did a lot of canoeing.
Was this area that we're in, Tualota, that's like super developed now, was that even a village back then?
I think, I'm not sure, but it doesn't look like from the history. It's like mostly a lot of the activities happened in Pango and Whangatongo area.
Okay.
And this was like mostly undeveloped back then.
What about
the day.
Like the western parts, like western past Leone? Parts.
Yeah, maybe mostly Leone, and then those other villages were not very populated at all.
Leone has that nice little lagoon, though, that you can just kind of cruise in there, though. I would think that, you know, that'd be a little more.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And also, if you talk to Dr. David from the archaeology from ASPA, he'll tell you some awesome stories about Leone. And actually, he says in one of his presentation that actually that's where this Tutuila Island was actually a factory for a lot of the rock tools, you know, the lava, the tools they made from rocks, and they shipped it all throughout the Pacific Island. And they found, you know, those same tools all over, like Micronesia, Melanesia.
So you'd come here and load up on tools and then...
And he says that if you go to Leone on the beach, on the rock area, you'll see all those, I forgot what they call them, those bowl-shaped rocks, and that's how they used to file the rocks and make the tools.
Oh, okay.
So it was basically a factory for the whole Pacific
Islands. When do you think that was?
Man, maybe he was thinking maybe 2,000 years ago or somewhere in that time frame.
Wow, incredible.
Yeah. So yeah, our people actually not only travel within the islands, they also travel between islands.
Yeah, I got to wonder, what is, so, I mean, I'm thinking to get from here to like Manua by boat, that's a haul.
Yes.
Right? And you're doing that with an outboard engine.
Right.
What if you're canoeing and like you're trying to go from here? How long was that? Did that take? How many people survived it?
Right.
You know, was that like an issue? You know, you'd go with 9 people and maybe 7 would come back or?
But often, Lee, if you talk to certain people like Dave as well, an archaeologist there, they'll say that they've traveled a lot between Manu'a and Tutuila.
Okay.
And they've used a bigger, it's not a canoe, I forgot the name for it, but it's actually a bigger boat. And they will load it up with whatever they needed, like food and stuff, and then they will travel. And they will come to Tutuila, they go to Tonga, they go to Fiji, they go to Micronesia.
Those are the trips that I'd be worried about, a Tonga or a Fiji trip.
Yeah, so they would travel along around the world and in the Pacific region. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of the people like Captain Cook and them, they came in the Cook Islands, they found people in the middle of nowhere on their canoes, and they're like, where did they come from? And so they would take them over to the islands, and that's how they were able to find a lot of the islands in the Pacific.
They'd pick these guys up, and they'd say, hey, take us to where
Where you're from. And then they were just like, wow, you're surprised that they would be out in the middle of nowhere with these small canoes.
Captain Cook, he was killed, though, wasn't he?
I don't remember
He met a lot were friendly towards him, and then...
Right, and then there were some that were not very friendly.
Yeah, that were...
Yeah, so
Massacre Bay
is a good example, exactly. So they were not very friendly. But yeah, so what we teach people is, look, if we can go back to our Polynesian way of living like our ancestors, eat like our ancestors, move like our ancestors, they were healthy, they were slim, they were strong. They
paddling all over the Pacific.
Yeah, vibrantly up to old age, and many of them lived to at least
90. No A-seed, F-150.
Roll down your window and order supersize me, yeah.
Rob writes, Captain Cook was killed in Hawaii.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that
was good to know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also show people how in our food challenge how to cook some, you know, some delicious treats where you like it, you know, if you want to say what you want, something sweet or something with chocolate in it. So I brought some oat bites.
Thank you. It's
oatmeal that we made, and then we make it into like a little
oat banana cake. These are available at
SSY.
Oh, wow. Thank you, man.
Yeah, and then we put a little dark chocolate chips in there just to, you know, for cravings. Okay. Kill the cravings. So science also shows that actually top of the list is dark chocolate will help kill your cravings.
Is that right?
Processed junk. So if you can do that, even if
so dark chocolate is not processed, or it is?
So it is minimally processed.
It's like of the evils.
The lesser of the evils, right. Okay. You just pick the lesser of the evils. But I like Coco Samoa, actually. So Coco Samoa is my favorite. I don't know if you like Coco Samoa.
I'm a fiend for that. Yeah.
Okay, so I like Coco Samoa, so that's what I drink. So that's good for you.
Good deal. Well, we appreciate you coming on. And while we got you here, you know, you were hearing about all these people that have lost so much weight in your program. Is there another boot camp or class or program starting up?
Thank you. So this week is our fifth week of this boot camp. So we got one more week and we'll take a week break. The next one starts next month. In 3 weeks from, or 2 weeks from Saturday, we'll have our orientation and start the next one up for boot camp. Our food challenge starts also on the same time. So the food challenge goes for 3 weeks and the boot camp goes for 6 weeks. So the food challenge just basically teaches you how to eat for health. And then the weight loss will take care of itself.
Now, do you manage this? Because I think of the military, right? And I look at these fit dudes at how fit they got for boot camp, right? And then when boot camp's done, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah. They go all fun. Their body goes all funhouse mirror.
Right.
So do you teach them, like, when these guys get out of your boot camp, are you going to say, hey, you know, you got to maintain this? Or do you have like a cheat weekend where you can go blast a buffet? Or
yeah, so what I do teach is that we take that 1 week break off, and I teach people, look, this is all about mindset. If you're just here just to do it for 6 weeks, then you're in trouble. Because as soon as you're done, you're going to go out, and then the cravings hit you, and you're just going to go all out, and then you just gain back all the weight you've lost. But you really got to train your mind that you're going to commit to it for life. Sure, you can take a week off, maybe, you know, have a little of your favorite foods, comfort foods, whatever you can call it, but you don't want to overdo it. Because really, weight loss is all based on calories. Whether people like it or not, really, it doesn't matter what you eat when it comes to weight loss, it's how much you eat that matters. So if you're eating more than your body's burning, you're going to gain weight.
Do you track all this on MyFitnessPal? Is that something you recommend to your guys?
So there are three ways we teach our people how to track for their calories. Number one, you can do calorie counting. when I ask our team, 90% of them hate doing that.
Oh, it's a drag.
So it's like,
you don't want to eat. It's such a pain in the neck.
So the 10%, Count Your Calories Fitness, MyFitnessPal. There's tons of chronometer, great
apps. All the doctors are MyFitnessPals. they're on that.
The second option, you can use your hands to measure your food. You know, you can measure your food if you don't want to weigh. If you just use your hands, you know, one fist that's a size for a taro or a potato. You know, for men, double that up, you know, because, you know, we tend to eat more. And for women, you know, just one is fine. And for protein, for lean protein, like fish or any of your favorite lean protein, just use the palm of your hand. That would be the thickness and the size of that protein per meal. This is per meal. And then a cup hand would be, you know, that would be like your favorite non-starchy vegetables. And I tell people just non-starchy vegetables are unlimited. They're so, like, you burn it off while you're eating it. So you don't worry about this. Just load up on those, you know, any kind of tutuila greens you like, or you know, that big bowl of, you know, lettuce and stuff, you can have that. You know, any of those lettuce are good. All of our local farmers make a lot of good lettuce and stuff. You can have those. And then for your thumb, that's where your healthy fats, you know, if you like avocado or any kind of raw nuts you like, almonds, any of those, no more than that per meal. So that's how you measure it. And then the third option to teach people is follow your biofeedback, you know. So what does that mean? It means that you got to teach yourself to connect your mind and your tummy. When you're physically hungry, you eat. When you're physically full, you stop eating. And then how often you eat? Whenever you're physically hungry. And then stop eating when you're physically full.
How do you know you're physically full, though?
Yeah, so that's the challenge, right?
Because I can sit there. You know what I mean? It's like you're right, talking about the cookies.
Correct.
You don't feel physically full when you're on your 19th cookie.
And I love that because you're right. You know, those cookies are so high in calories, but they're not. They're so calorie dense that it doesn't fill your tummy, but you're like way over your calories. So the trick here is the more wholesome food you eat, the faster you're going to get full.
Okay.
Right? Because there's bulk in your food. There's lettuce, and fruits and vegetables, starches, there's bulk in it. So
the processed food does not have
that.
Fools you.
Yeah, that'll fool your mind, so you'll continually eat and not get full. But if you're eating wholesome foods from nature, there's sensors in your tummy that'll actually sense and tell the brain, I'm full. And you'll feel it too. You'll feel so overstuffed.
Does Chinese food or the stuff that has MSG, does that throw off those sensors?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Any chemicals in your food will throw off the sensors. Pizza even will have that. It has all those effects. The processed, sad food that we eat, the body can't handle that. So you definitely have to count your calories if you're eating cheese and pizza and cookies. And there's a doctor, I forgot the university where you're from. He ate nothing but, you know, he called it the Twinkie diet. You can YouTube it. You'll see or Google it. And all he ate was Twinkies, chips, sodas, but he kept his calories below his maintenance, which was about 800 or something, 1800 or something. And then after a month or two, he lost 30 pounds. But then he did his vitals, and doctor says, you better get off that diet. You're going to have a heart attack. So you can definitely lose weight eating whatever you want, as long as you keep your calories under your maintenance, but it's not good for your health. So that's why I teach people to eat for health first.
Okay.
And weight loss will take care of itself.
Gotcha. Well, this is a lot of information. And sounds like that you need to be attending a class on a regular basis to, you know, it's like learning anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. You really, it's
need
it's,
to be there.
Yeah. You have to be there. Stay connected. Social support is very important for successful weight loss and taking better care of your health. We invite you to join us. We'd love to have you. We'd love to help you on your journey. And we invite everybody to support. And we thank all of our other fitness teams on island, you know, SBW, SOWIA, Evolve. TJ's, all those guys, you know, we're all on the same team. We just need to support each other in this challenge. You know, the enemy is the SAD diet. We're trying to combat. So whatever we can do to work together and promote this, and we can make our island healthy again, and make our island knock our people off the number one most obese nation in the world.
All right, what a great goal! Thank you, Coach Will. Good to see you as always, man. And thank you for these oatmeal bites
You're welcome.
You brought in.
Thank you, John.
93 KHJ. Back after these messages.